Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. Today is Tuesday, July 22nd. I'm Ala Kuziz. Nashat Al-Jarwan and his family were approved to relocate to St. Louis from a refugee camp in Jordan. But then the Trump administration halted all such resettlements.
This situation is very hard, being stuck waiting.
We'll have his story coming up after this news on The Gateway. The family of the detainee who died this weekend in custody at the St. Louis City Justice Center wants answers. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wembley reports.
31-year-old Samuel Hayes Jr. was a beautiful person who everyone loved, says his mother, Anita Washington. Washington says until Monday, she and her family hadn't heard much from police since her son died in custody this weekend. But what she and her family want right now is to see surveillance footage of what happened.
Everybody loved Lil' Sam. We need to see those tapes. There are video cameras all throughout this whole building. Where is the evidence? Where something is going on with my son up there?
Police say Hayes Jr. was found unresponsive after he was placed in a restraint chair following an altercation with his cellmate. Hayes is the 20th person to die in custody at the city jail since 2020. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The decision by Congress last week to claw back $1 billion in funding for public media hits rural stations in Kansas and Missouri especially hard. Ozarks Public Radio and Ozarks Public Television serve communities in southern Missouri. General Manager Rachel Knight says the stations are losing a combined $1.3 million of annual funding. That's 10% of the radio budget and one-third of the television budget.
Like with any budget gap, you have to look at it as a combination of decreasing expenses, which we will have to do, and also increasing revenue.
Knight says it's been difficult hearing claims about unbiased reporting in public radio from Republicans. Six state parks in Missouri now have action track shares for use by those with physical disabilities. A recent donation by the Missouri Parks Association brought the Missouri Department of Natural Resources state parks fleet up to six chairs total. Track chairs have tracks instead of wheels, which allow users to take them in areas regular wheelchairs can't go. Chris Fritchie is superintendent at both the Battle of Lexington and Confederate Memorial State Historic Sites and says for some people, the track chairs make all the difference in the world.
It's a sense of freedom to do something that everyone else can normally do.
Fritchie recommends calling and reserving a chair a couple of days in advance. There are no fees to reserve them, but the user must be accompanied by someone 18 or older. A new Illinois law will make it easier for police to remove squatters from someone's home. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Currently, people unlawfully occupying a home can be removed through a months-long eviction process, during which squatters are allowed to continue living at the property. The new law allows law enforcement to immediately arrest squatters for trespassing. State Senator Lakeisha Collins carried the bill through Springfield, and she says the goal is to give homeowners more recourse.
They are having to, you know, go through the stress of knowing that their hard-earned money that have went into their properties are now in the hands of strangers who are damaging the property and doing God knows what.
The bill had bipartisan support, and the law will take effect in January of 2026. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
There's an extreme heat warning in effect until Thursday evening for much of the greater St. Louis region, so be sure to drink plenty of water, stay out of the sun, and check up on relatives and neighbors. Information about cooling centers or energy assistance related to the excessive heat can be found by calling the United Way of Greater St. Louis or Cool Down St. Louis.
I'm Jonathan Aul, newscast editor at St. Louis Public Radio. Federal funding for St. Louis Public Radio has been canceled. We're defunded, but we are not defeated. We need to make up $575,000 a year to support the reporting you've come to rely on and keep the Gateway thriving. This daily podcast is made possible by the work of everyone in the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, anchors, reporters, editors, and producers, and they can't do their jobs without you. consider a donation of $10, $20, or even $100 a month. It will help us navigate a challenging time for public media and provide you with the peace of mind that you are doing what you can to keep independent journalism strong in the St. Louis, Rolla, and Quincy areas. Give now at stlpr.org, and thanks.
Nishat El-Jerwan and his family have lived in Za'atari refugee camp in Jordan for 12 years. But in 2023, a path to resettlement opened that would have allowed them to come to St. Louis. That path quickly closed. In the wake of President Trump's January executive order to suspend all refugee resettlement, the El-Jerwan family became one among thousands already vetted and approved and now in limbo. St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Cha spoke with Nishat El-Jerwan and started by asking him what life is like at the refugee camp.
In the most simplest terms, life is very hard here. For example, we're in the summer right now. The summer is very hot. The electricity is very slim. It's very limited opportunities and very limited resources here for us in the camp. And after spending all of these years, it's become clear that the need to leave is very strong. And I've had to find opportunities for work outside of the camp because it's very limited here. And as much as I can describe to you the details of living here, the reality is it's much worse and it's very hard.
Mm-hmm. How have you raised your children there? And how many were born at Za'atari?
I have one daughter that was born in Za'atari in 2020, and the rest of my sons were born in Syria. The situation was very hard for us raising them here in the camp, especially with schools. Their schools are very far. There's little to no transportation for them, and they've had to depend on themselves at a younger age. And it takes a lot to get to school, and then also at home studying and just the home life. There's very little electricity for them throughout the day, which makes it hard for them to focus, and it makes it hard to raise them as well. I've also had to leave the house often for work opportunities, and that's tough to not be there for them. In Syria, it was also a tough situation for them, especially with the hardships that came with the war. But despite all of that, we continue to encourage them to pursue their education despite the hardships, even though they were very prevalent there.
Mm-hmm. Are there things that you and your family have done to make joy for yourselves?
To be frank, it is very hard to find joy here in the refugee camp with the harsh living conditions and the desert-like living conditions out here. But the people around us, our social circle, but most importantly, our family in St. Louis and being in communication with them. And when the topic came of the opportunity to potentially be able to join them, that was truly the first time we truly found joy, that we could have joy in our life and the opportunity to be with them.
What would you like people to know or understand about what you are thinking and feeling right now?
My feelings are that this situation is very hard being stuck waiting. We've put off so much because we've anticipated that we were set to travel. We put off work opportunities, things that we had planned here. And as the travel date approached, we had to quit our jobs. I have a son who is in school, stopped going to school. I quit my job. My other sons quit their jobs because we were banking on leaving on our travel date. We left our house. We sold our furniture. And because of that, because we were leaving the camp, we also lost our refugee privileges of the camp, and that being some health care and some opportunities that are just afforded to refugees. But since we have left the camp, we are no longer afforded those opportunities. So now we're just stuck. But we are still optimistic that we'll be able to travel soon.
That was Nishat El-Jerwan speaking with St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Cha. The The translation was provided by St. Louis Public Radio editor Lara Hamden. Our Brian Moline edited that conversation. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Arla Kuziz, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.